This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Our calling as Christians, does it mean that we, as well as the apostles, are to trample upon the works of Satan? Stay with us, and Dr. Wyatt relates the need for a few good men and women.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is further in the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and relates what is called the calling of the 70, and that does include us. Do stay with us, will you?
Then the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore plead earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to throw out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you."
Thank you, Sharon. I have had her read several verses from what is called the mission of the 70, a special calling that extended far beyond the familiar 12 disciples. And it is remarkable in a number of ways. First, they went two by two. They are all given remarkable discretionary judgment. And we then find them exercising the same remarkable ability to bring healing and overcoming demonic possession. The inference in what is said is that we are all called and so provided gifts or enablements to do much the same, yes, even today. It is a call to believers, one that reveals our uniqueness in our Lord's economy. There is a story I have heard in many forms of a school assembly where representatives of all four of the major branches of the armed forces of the United States were present, each ready to put their best foot forward to impress the potential recruits present. The first three speakers all presented what their services had to offer, but each took a little more than their allotted time and left the Marine sergeant with precious little. So he stood in front of those who had assembled and simply said, "I doubt if more than three of you could actually make it as Marines, but I want to see those three at my table in the rear." The results you can guess. His table was easily the most popular. Some, it would seem, like to be challenged. It is a mystique of being special, one of the few, a unique individual above the crowd. And I contend there is nothing more unique and special than living in the shadow of, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. But as Gilbert Chesterton declared over a century ago, Christianity hasn't been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. As it has been discovered by most who take our faith serious, it requires more than a simple verbal assent, more, far more than a casual acquaintance, more than the occasional involvement which is too often done from afar or an involvement at arm's length. Christianity, as we should know, requires a full awareness of what it implies and means. Those who don't want to be bothered with commitment, those who just want a comfortable pew on a few Sunday mornings every year, those who don't want to be disturbed by images of the suffering, even death of Christians in other lands, all because they express the same faith as they do, those who don't want to be made uncomfortable with the call to true discipleship must come to the realization that what they want, what they desire in their churches, is not Christianity. If you want ease, an unperturbed life, one with no challenge, no demands, then you had best stay home with the funny papers on Sunday morning. Or find one of those dry, passionless churches caught in the repeated loop of rituals and dead creeds and preachers who tell a few humorous stories, provide a point or two, and leave you then unchallenged. But in our text, Jesus has appointed 70 to cover the towns, literally the villages and places, just spots out in the country, all the places where Jesus will in time visit. And they are to bring a special message that the kingdom of God has come near you, that it is now present and will soon walk among you. It is a message that still resonates and one still required that we proclaim. And it is a message that is still met with hostility, for we are very much still lambs sent into the midst of wolves, those who would tear or dismember us, at least in a spiritual sense, at least for now. That is, if indeed we present the reality of Christ's coming, that his rule and reign is now among us, that his judgment upon our lives, our communities, our nations does hang heavy over us. I know this because, as Jesus tells the 70, the harvest is great and the workers few. Jesus speaks not of some great field out there to engage our efforts, but that the harvest is ready. The harvest was ready then, and believe me, it still is. These numbers are great, indeed immense, like standing on the plains of Saskatchewan or Kansas, and the wheat fields stretch off into the distance as far as the eye can see. But here the workers are too few for the job, and we are to pray. Only the word here means more. It is to plead. It is not a plea that God will not see his harvest brought in, but that we need to earnestly desire what God desires. We are to be of the same mind and heart as he, considering all who are lost. We are to understand also, not that God send the workers out, but that he throw them out into the harvest. The Greek is emphatic. God is to hurry them out, push them out. The image is important for every generation, for it is the experience of so many that the calling of God doesn't seem to be gradual or overly calm, but one of almost compulsion. How can one not say with Paul, "Woe be it unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ"? If you are in him, walking in him, you must, or you will at times feel that urging, that push to speak, share, or do something that the Spirit is urging you to do. And such will always bear fruit. This call, this harvest, this being thrust out into the ripe harvest field has not changed. Or will it change until the last ripe grain is brought into his barn on that day? The sending of the 70 was just a small but important beginning. His time was short, so he sent out 35 or 36 pairs. There is a textual variant here. Either the number was 70 or 72. Both represent either the traditional number of nations or the traditional number of world languages. In either case, it speaks to the worldwide mission that was to follow. Here they are to prepare for his coming, to discover which places or communities are receptive to the kingdom of God. There are also ethical restrictions. One is not to seek out better accommodations, a more comfortable or more luxurious situation, but accept graciously whatever is offered. This is obvious, but bears restating for our day. We are to be of service in whatever situation we find ourselves, always to be ready to do what we can without a thought of reward, honor, or inducements. We are not supposed to be in Christian service to seek the most comfortable or most lucrative position, but to be of service, to do our part, to proclaim the kingdom as here. This does seem to be lost at times in favor of material trappings, but remember that all such have their reward. I believe also there is good reason we are to minister at least in pairs in whatever we do. Not only is the Lord present whenever just two or three are present, but it brings balance, another to share responsibility in our calling. And this is essential, for it also provides a warning if we wander off the true path. Also, we are told we can reject, even publicly, in the wide streets, where all can see those who have not or will not receive you or the message of the kingdom. You see, there has never been enough time to continue to throw the pearls of the gospel before those who prefer to wallow in the mire of their iniquity and reject the gospel. We are to proclaim truth, salvation, witness to the reality of Jesus Christ. There are more than enough who are open and willing, enough that the Holy Spirit has prepared that need to be brought in and harvested. Enough that we don't need to keep going back to those who just will not accept or refuse to hear. Perhaps they will someday, but we have so much ahead of us to do that we are to strike off even the dust to take nothing from those that reject this word. In that day, the day of judgment, as great as the guilt is for Sodom, the guilt of those who reject the message of Jesus Christ, who refuse the offered kingdom of God, their final judgment will be even harder to bear. For any community, any people to reject, refuse what God now offers freely, without restriction, is not to be underplayed. The greater the offer, the more magnanimous the grace extended, the more wondrous the salvation proclaimed, then the more terrible the damnation that is incurred. This is, of course, to reject the truth of the gospel, the undiluted word of God, what we have as Christians been urged to proclaim and witness to. This does not refer to those who alter his word, distort or speak hatred or vileness and claim it is from God. We are to go out in Jesus' name, under his authority, not our own. And here we must speak to another aspect of the ministry of not only the 12, but the 70. They were to heal the sick. And when the 70 returned, they rejoiced that even the demons were subject to the name of Jesus. Clearly, many have problems with such scriptural declarations. But it is just as clear that Jesus healed, as did the 12 and now the 70. Jesus could then say, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Capernaum might falsely exalt itself, but they shall be brought down to hell." Where are the mighty works as then? Has God so changed that this is but a fascinating, but a peculiar judgment on them? I reject such a simplistic and obvious vacuous view. God has not changed. We have, or at least our vision. God still heals. The mighty works are still there if we have but eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to reach out. Pray we not become so blind and so obtuse in our walk that we cannot or will not see God's hand at work around us, even through us. The harvest remains great. The kingdom is still readily pressing upon us. He still pushes us out to share and proclaim. We are still to declare that our Lord heals, that signs and wonders are still to be experienced. Is not our Lord still available, still able? We don't see because we don't ask, let alone seek and knock. How will he then open to us, nor open us up to any of the deep and rich promises unless we do? One of the greatest of sadnesses is that these things were all recorded early, and the apostolic churches were still witnessing all such wonders. There was Peter's shadow healing, extraordinary miracles in Ephesus under Paul's ministry. And then so quickly, within 50 years, the leaders of Christianity were making excuses as to why these signs and wonders were now so rare. And today, so many say, it was for then. Yet is it not necessary that God still throw out workers into a ripe harvest? Such signs, such a reality of healing is a necessity and would be and must be a prime mover in any spiritual advance. We are stilled because of our own folly and fear. We do not because we are ignorant, weak, and don't believe. I wonder how we will fare as communities in our day of judgment. What will Sidon and Tyre say of us? Some disparage all of this as unsophisticated, superstitious, or primitive. But do we eagerly and passionately embrace all that God would offer? Or do we sit satisfied in our sterile, impassionate, lifeless churches? I know we are not to rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to us, for it is not about us, but it is in Jesus that we can do these things. We are but his tools, his servants. Our joy is in our permanent enrollment by grace in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yet we have been given authority to trample the works of Satan and his minions. Let us not be fearful or ignorant, but in faith and in trust in He who goes with us, as we go proclaiming the kingdom and His righteousness, let us also rejoice in what His name makes possible, that we might see all the reality of His kingdom in our day, in our lives, in our communities. O Lord, let us grasp the fact that You have called us not to ordinary ministries, but to extraordinary things, to do great things in Thy name, not for our glory, but for Your glory, that Your kingdom might indeed be experienced as the reality it is for all who would believe. Amen.
Are you one of the few, the special, so called out for service to our God? Well, in fact, we are all called. If you need reinforcement and added strength for your call and your walk in Him, write and ask for your free copy of Dr. Wyatt's book being offered this week. Here you will find just what God has called us to do and decreed for a people called by His name. We are all members of God's chosen race. So do write and ask for your copy of A Chosen Race. We want to thank those of you who are keeping this ministry in your prayers and for your generous monetary support. It is necessary in order for us to get the Word of God out to a world so in need to hear the Holy Scriptures. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you again, my dear. And thanks to Millicent. I really appreciate, as she simply says, me and my family thank you so much for your prayers. God bless you and your ministry for many answers to prayer. Thank you, Millicent. Such a heartwarming thought. And you and many others are always in my prayers. So I ask you to write as well. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But before that, Kyle and Crystal come to sing a great old hymn, I Surrender All. So until next week, you be one of the few, all right?
All to Jesus I surrender. Freely give. trust him in his presence daily.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. The address is Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. CDs of this broadcast are free upon request, but this week, Dr. Wyatt is also offering his book, A Chosen Race. Indeed, all who do believe are God's own people, truly a chosen race. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time, and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.